Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode. I'm so enjoying our study on what is God like. We see that God reveals his name as Jehovah. And as we go through Exodus 34, we've been kind of slowly walking through what God reveals about himself after he first proclaims his name. He said, first thing I want you to know, and I know I've repeated it, but it is he is merciful and gracious, long-suffering. That's what he says. If you don't know anything about me, know this. And then he went in and talked about being abundant in goodness and truth. And we talked about how goodness and truth connect together, how his goodness is grounded in the promise, which is grounded in truth. And then he's forgiving, but also he's just. And we've looked at each of those, and as we come down through here, we see there's a very interesting statement made at the very end, a statement that we need to look at and clarify to make sure we truly understand who God is. I would say this is a statement that I hear people say misunderstanding what it says. They kind of interpret it differently than what it truly says. Let me read it to us, then we'll jump down into it. But it says this, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God. He's saying, Jehovah, Jehovah God. God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Now he says this, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. So the question is, does God punish kids for the sins of their parents? Does God punish grandkids for the sins of their grandparents? Does the Bible teach that God enforces what we refer to as a generational curse? If that's the case, it sounds completely unfair. It almost sounds like, and what people would insinuate, that God is a mean bully extending the punishment through multiple generations of people who are innocent. They didn't do that, yet they're receiving the punishment from somebody else. Nothing worse than you maybe being at work, being in class, whatever the case you could think of. Somebody does something wrong. You don't do it, yet you receive consequences for it. I remember being in class, and nobody would confess. It's just the teacher would say, hey, that's fine, the whole class. You're going to have this homework, or you're not going to be able to do this, or whatever it is, all because of the actions of one people. And that seems so very fair. So does this mean God enforces generational curses? Is he placing a curse upon a family that the children or grandchildren just can't break, even though they didn't cause it? So let's look at this. What we learn here is this. Jehovah is merciful and just. We talked about that in our previous one. I said we're going to come back and kind of hash that out. How can those two things coexist? Here's what God is not saying. What does it mean that God visits the iniquity of the parents on children? Well, visit means this. God is paying attention to people, either to do them good or to bring punishment. God acts according, notice this, to our free will choices. God does not punish an innocent generation for the sins of their parents, okay? So this is not what he's saying. All right, here's Deuteronomy 24:16. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death, watch this, for his own sin. So God is not saying, I'm going to punish you for the sins of this person. You're not going to receive the punishment, that the justice that is demanded for their sins that you're going to have to pay for. That's not what he's saying. God does not have generational curses. Everyone is responsible for their own actions. So you say, well, Deuteronomy 24 almost sounds like it's in direct contradiction to Exodus 34. So what exactly is God saying? He's saying simply this, God visits sin in every generation. All right, so God visits sin in every single generation of people. All right, here's a few things we learn from this passage. The sin of parents has consequences in the life of children. All right, secondly, sin runs in your family. And thirdly, sin is punished by God in every generation. Okay, so the sin of the parents has consequences in the life of children. Imagine this, that you are a child and you're growing up and you have no call, no say in where you'll live, where you'll move to. Maybe, unfortunately, your parents end up getting incarcerated. Well, guess what? That's going to leave you with consequences. You didn't commit the sin to go to jail. You didn't maybe have the meth lab. You didn't do whatever they did. But guess what? There are consequences that will fold out to you. Doesn't mean you're paying for the sin of the parents. They're the ones in jail. I'm trying to speak kind of humanly speaking here. They're going to be in jail, but those consequences do come into our lives. And so us as parents understand our decisions do have consequences in the life of our children. But we understand, bottom line, sin runs in our family. Every single family member, father, mother, child, and so forth, grandchild, all are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God, because he's just, must punish sin in every generation. You see, in his mercy, he doesn't just turn a blind eye. In God's justice, sin must be punished in every generation, in every person's life. You know, some people, well, they just learned it from their parents or they just learned it from their friends, so I'll let it go. No, that's not the case at all with God. He doesn't just turn a blind eye to sin. It must be punished. And so we see this. We see God's mercy and his justice play out in the book of Numbers, chapter 14. And I won't walk down this an entire chapter here, but I'll just briefly give you kind of the summary of it. The spies have been sent to go into the promised land to see what kind of land it is. They come back. They don't give a good report. There are two people, Joshua and Caleb, say, yes, we can go in. They're big people, but God has led us here. God will give us the victory. And the rest of them were like, no, 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 we can't do this. And so the people get very discouraged, distraught, and you know what they do? They begin to complain against God, and they begin to say, would to God that he had left us in Egypt. Remember, they're coming out of Egypt. God is leading them out, and they said, we would have rather just stayed in Egypt, and they start murmuring against God, and God declares justice on the people. He says this in verse number 11, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And so here, God declares justice on the people for their sin. But Moses intercedes for the people, and it's beautiful. If you have time on your own, go back and read verses 15 through 19, because what he does, he intercedes for the people, but he quotes back Exodus 34, exactly what God had said about himself. He says, and now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. He says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy. And God gives mercy and justice together. First, he gives mercy by pardoning them. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Mercy first by allowing them to tempt him. They had tempted him numerous times. This is where he's merciful and gracious and long-suffering. I mean, multiple times these people were tempting him. Mercy first in that he does not destroy the people for their sin, but then justice second, watch this, by not allowing them to enter into the promised land. He will by no means clear the guilty. He says, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with my glory, because all those men which have seen my glory, my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, and he goes on to say, Caleb and Joshua will, because he had a different spirit. So what happens here? Mercy and justice are met together. God allows their children to enter into the land. In verses 30 and 31, there are no generational curses, but there was a moment, a time, when they could not go into the promised land, because God was holding off their parents. So they had to live in the wilderness with their parents, the consequences of their parents, but then they got to go in. So though they still suffer the consequences of their parents' decisions, God says this, I am just, but I'm also merciful. I am merciful. I am so merciful that it can seem to outweigh my justice. But remember, don't forget, I am still just. And so if there are consequences for sin, then there are positive outcomes for obedience. You can flip it around. If God will visit the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, God will visit the blessings of the father unto the children to the third and fourth generation. What God is also saying is mercy has positive outcomes in the life of children. Mercy runs in your family. Mercy is promoted by God in every generation. You know, I hear young people say often, I can't help it, or this is the way I was brought up, or because of this, and I don't diminish it all, the home life, the upbringing, especially as we deal with students, they come from all different types of background. And sometimes they'll default and say, well, I just can't help it, or this is because, you know, I can't get a job, or I can't finish my education, or I have this habit, or whatever it is. You know what God is saying? God is saying, I am merciful. And he's saying there's no such thing as a generational curse. There may be consequences that you feel from your parents, but you be the change. You start the change. You be the fountain where the blessings start to come out. You purpose to be obedient. Lean into God's mercy and God's goodness. You don't have to repeat the sins of your family, the sins of your mom and dad, your sins of your grandma and grandpa. Jesus provides the way out. It is absorbed and broken on the cross, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ breaks its hold on you. And so justice and mercy meet. They meet together, but God says, remember, first and foremost, I am merciful. I'm gracious. I'm long-suffering. He said, they tempted me this 10 times. You know, you and I would look at someone and say, man, okay, three strikes and you're out. I'm done. But God says, look, 10 times, I've already been merciful. And then he says, now it's time for justice. And Moses says, no, God, please, remember you said you're merciful, gracious, long-suffering. And God says, okay, I will pardon them from disinheriting them and consuming them, but my justice still must be enacted. And so their consequence is this. I'm going to pardon them. They're going to live, but they cannot go into the promised land. There's those consequences of justice. And we understand mercy and justice meet in the person of Jesus Christ. God extends mercy to you and I, and he executes his justice on the cross in the person of Jesus Christ. And as you and I call out to Jesus and believe on him, we receive God's justice and we receive God's mercy at the same time. So the question is, especially as we go through this Christmas holiday, are you experiencing the mercy of God? Have you experienced the justice of God, but through the person of Jesus Christ? Because either you experience the justice of God and believing on Jesus and allowing Jesus to take your justice, or it will be at the white throne judgment when God executes judgment upon all those that don't believe. And they will give a record. They'll give an account of their sin. And second question as we finish up here, do you feel bound by any type of generational curse? Do you feel like you've been hindered because of the decisions of family, the consequences of family, your situations, other people? Don't even have to be family, other people. Guess what? God is merciful and you can break the change. You be the change. Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.